Okay, let's get going then. First item of business is approval of minutes of the May 20th, 2025 meeting. Any comments, motions?
Yeah, so
Oh, hold on.
before
Ethan's got to read the intro here, and then we'll go.
Yep. All right. So welcome to our virtual meeting. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. Members and city staff, members, if you are able, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you are able, please activate your video when you are speaking. The chair and committee staff are responsible for muting and unmuting committee members. Use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all panelists will be unmuted briefly. Staff, click raise hand when you are asked a question. The chair will do their best to call on committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who are registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. The clerk will tell you when your time is up. After speaking, a member of the body may ask you a question. If you need to share documentation with the board, please send it to the email listed on today's agenda. Please do not use your video. If you turn on your video, it will be shut off. Chair, the floor is yours.
Okay, now, first item is approval of the minutes of May 20th, 2025. So we need a motion or some comments and discussion. George?
I'll move approval of the minutes.
Okay, is there a second? I see Daryl.
I'll
Second?
second.
Okay, all in favor, do not raise your hand now. All opposed, raise your hand now. 8 minutes are approved, so public comment is next. Anything today?
No items for public comment.
Okay, let's move to item number 25510, Element Way.
Disclosures, recusals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, disclosure recusals. George.
I will recuse myself on the item regarding Edgewood High School sprinklers.
That
That's
is
number
2219
three.
Monroe Street.
Number three. Okay. Duly noted. Okay, let's go back to 5510 Element Way then.
All
There
right. Item number two for presentation, we have 5510 Element Way. This is a new construction building. They are seeking a variance from the 2015 IBC section 1011.541, which governs exterior steps with non-uniform risers at grade level. What we have here is a situation where a building was constructed interior to a site. Grade levels were set, reviewed, and approved by the engineering department. Building inspection normally does not review that element of construction. They have very wide steps and entry points, and those steps enter onto interior ground, not the public right of way. Along that interior ground is a grade which changes at different points. And so what you end up with is you end up with non-uniform risers for that first step as the grade level changes. This wasn't identified until after the stairs had been poured and the concrete had been poured. And so, in lieu of breaking that up, they have asked for a variance from this item. Just to be clear here, there are photos in the application that show the stairs in and around the area and the general conditions. So that is what is being appealed and sought here. We do have one individual registered to speak. That is Quinlan Perkey, registered in support. Quinlan, if you want to unmute yourself, you have 3 minutes to speak. If you would like, then the board would deliberate and ask any questions.
Sounds good. Thanks, Kyle. That was a great introduction. So good afternoon, everyone. I'm Quinn Perkey, a staff attorney with the University Research Park, and sort of here pinch hitting for our associate director, Paul Mensch, who is currently out of the office. I guess with that introduction, I'm just sort of gonna skip to the end here. So I guess thanks to the committee for your time and consideration, and I am here to answer any questions to hopefully get this to get this variance approved. So thanks again.
Okay, well, I'll start it off then. I'm trying to understand how something this far off didn't get identified. I'm just kind of puzzled because it's obviously quite a slope. I mean, this is not just a couple steps. I mean, the second one, the one that's at that fire exit. You know, that's one stairway. It's the bottom step and all that. I guess I can understand how that could get overlooked, but the other one is just, that's pretty substantial from my viewpoint. I mean, the only thing I know, we've looked at something like this before, not too long ago. And you know, if it's one step, it's the bottom step. It's probably the least critical step to be per code because you're not going to fall very far compared to if it was the top step, where, you know, I would hate to see that be the same problem, obviously. So, but I'm just, how did this get missed? I guess.
Yeah, so I can help answer that question here. Just from a from an inspection and a thought perspective here, you see three stairs. You've got two of those which are up against the right of way. You've got the main entryway, and this is just, those are photos for context. What we're looking at really specifically here is we've got this main entryway where we have a paved area that is right up to the right of way, and the paved area effectively follows that grade along the right of way. Whether or not I'm not sure that it was clearly understood exactly where the right-of-way line was during construction and whether or not stairs went up to that level or not. And so that was honestly something that we don't consider because we don't look at grade levels during the plan review stage. So it's not something that we would have seen here. It's a function of having gone out to the site and the stairs are formed and poured and going, wait a second, this seems off. Of course, in most instances, what we have is we have a single stairway. And so in those sorts of instances where we come into something like that, if we've got a single, what I'm going to define as a normal stairway of normal width, 3 to 4 to 5 feet, the area will be broken out and repoured and made to be level. Because of the width of the stairs here of you know, many feet that extend across the length of the entirety of the opening, that wasn't something that we were going to explore immediately.
Yeah, I was not questioning why the city didn't find it. I was questioning why the designers, I don't mean to be critical, but this seems like a pretty major miss. That's all. I don't know that it has any impact on what we ask for here, but I guess the number one question to me is this a safety hazard? Are people potentially gonna have a lot greater chance of twisting their ankle here? And is it bad enough that we need to do something about it, or is there another way to remediate it with extra railings? My recollection is the one we saw previously, there were extra railings, and that helped everybody feel like there were enough railings to hang on to, that you know the risk was pretty darn low, and that it's understood looking at the grade, this is difficult. This is difficult. So I can see many solutions here, but expensive ones. So, yeah, Daryl?
I was just curious how this compares to the Dane County Courthouse, because that picture is in here and I walk that pretty regularly. There seems to be some similarities in the rise over run and the number of stairs.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see that picture if somebody's got it and can put it up.
It's
But
on the bottom.
oh, is it? Okay, I didn't, I guess I didn't go down far enough here.
I walked that pretty regularly.
I see now, I see all the extra stuff. Yeah. So how'd those buildings get approved?
Well, the difference between the Dane County Courthouse and here is that there is a provision within the building code that allows for stairs, the first step to have non-uniform riser where the grade level is uneven and the stairs exit to the right of way. So the code allows, if I have a grade level that can't be changed because it's public right of way, I can create stairs like what you see both in this instance or at the Dane County Courthouse. Now, at the Dane County Courthouse, those empty right out onto the sidewalk. That provision does not exist for interior stairs because the commentary is that going to tell you that on an interior site, I have the opportunity to alter my grade. And so I should create that level landing at the stair base, period.
I see. But
Thanks.
safety wise, though, the effect is basically the same.
It is exactly the same.
So therefore, do we know if anybody's ever hurt themselves on Dane County Courthouse steps? I mean, it's we don't, of course. So, I mean, there would be something to think about, is it, it's just a technicality difference. So if the code people think the other one is safe, is this any less safe? I guess that's the question I would throw out. And I don't think it is any less safe than the courthouse. Other people? How do you feel, Daryl, having seen all this?
Well, I walk the courthouse pretty regularly, and I mean I'm just glad there's the number. It seems that they have the same number of railing, and there seems to be like features. So I don't know. It's a personally, I think it's a like comparison. I don't know.
Okay. Anybody else want to weigh in on this one?
The only thing I would add, and not to interrupt, but I would add probably another stairwell where the fire hydrant comes out of the building,
Another
or another
well,
railing, another railing where
oh, another railing
the disc of the fire.
on the right-hand side of the picture.
Correct.
Yeah, I like that idea. Okay, well, let's let other people weigh in here. What do you think of all this? Lou?
Yeah, I just realized what building this was, so I have to exclude myself from discussion.
Okay, George?
Am I muted?
Oh, you're good.
Okay, so I was thinking of the same thing as Daryl when I was looking at the photos and whether or not we would end up contemplating approving this, that one side of the stairs by the fire department connections, there is no rail on that side. I think that would give us a little bit of thought of saying, we always look for something to add that helps us get to equivalency. So I was thinking, if we put a rail on that side, and the only question I would ask is there any concern that we would be infringing on the clearances for those connections? And if the fire department was okay with handrail at that location, I think that's a good way for us to look at this. Trying to report that sidewalk, I don't want to call it a sidewalk, that walkway that abuts the stairs and then goes to the right of way. It would be undulating to try and figure out a way you could port and make it work to connect to the stairs and also to the right of way. It just looks like that would be very difficult.
Yeah, Matt.
Yeah, we would not be opposed if you wanted to add a railing on that. I'm looking at the picture of the right side by the fire department connection there. As long as it came straight down and did not turn out in front of that FDC.
Yeah, and I think that's just as well because I don't think it's great to be entering. I don't think anybody will be entering from that side. You know, I don't think the railing is going to get in the way of anybody trying to enter coming up the slope and taking a sharp turn. I think it's just as well to make them go around and get that railing. So that's a little safer to me. I wouldn't want anybody trying to shortcut and tripping on that corner. So sounds like that's to me, that's a great solution here. Anybody else want to weigh in here? Or if you have a motion, George?
I'll move that we approve the variance with the condition that they install an additional rail on that side by the fire department connection.
Can I please interrupt you in case Sean had further discussion? Did you have further discussion, Sean, or were you going to make a motion?
No, I was actually going. I mean, I was going to point out that there's a little difference between this and the courthouse, but the reality is they're both kind of out of compliance areas that people have to know. There's definitely a safer side of the railing that each one of these railings to pick. And then I was just going to second the motion that that railing probably does need to be there at the fire department entry, anyways,
Okay.
because it's you're stepping off two steps there without a railing.
Okay, so we were in the middle of the
So.
motion, and it actually sounds like we let this go. We have a motion and we have a second from you, Sean. Does that sound good? Have I done it in the right way here, staff?
Yes.
All good with this? Okay, so we have a motion and a second. All in favor, do not raise your hand now. All opposed, raise your hand now. Okay, it is approved. Thank you.
All right, excellent. So Quinn, what I will do here is I will reach out to Paul relative to this approval here. We'll get this on file and contact him about getting this wrapped up and closed. Do you happen to know when he'll be back available? Is it this week yet, or is it next week?
Yeah, he'll be back end of this week.
Okay.
So Thursday, I'd say. Excuse me.
I will reach out to Paul here and we will close the loop on this. All right.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you all for your
All right.
consideration.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Bye.
Okay, we're on to 2219 Monroe Street, and there's a recusal on this one.
That is correct. So 2219 Monroe Street, also known as Edgewood High School. The property owner here is seeking a variance from the 2015 IBC section 903.2.3, which requires a sprinkler system for Group E occupancies. Specifically, the applicant is seeking a variance to exempt the area over the existing swimming pool from requiring a sprinkler system. To provide more detail on this, what we have is a situation where prior, the High School of Edgewood had been granted variances conditional upon installing a full sprinkler system throughout the entirety of the campus in the future. We are now at the in the future point, and they are going through the process of bringing the building up to compliance with the installation of a sprinkler system throughout the campus. What they have is an existing swimming pool, and they are seeking a variance from the requirement to install a sprinkler system over only the pool area. So they would like effectively a relief from that condition to which they agreed in the past. They would still install a code compliant sprinkler system over the deck and other areas. I'll let Matt speak more about what they have submitted for review and approval, but that is what is being asked of the board here today. We do have one individual who is registered to speak and in support. That is Brendan Buckley.
Okay, so Matt, yeah, we need to hear from you. And I know we had something, I think it was at West High or some high school recently about this, correct, Kyle?
Correct. This has been, there is one comparable example. I'll pull that up here quickly while Matt is speaking, but there is one similar example that I can reference for you.
So Matt?
Yeah, so this came up in the plan review. I was reviewing the next phase of the sprinkler installation for the high school, Edgewood High School here. And I had noted that they did not show sprinklers over the pool area. So my comment in that was sprinklers to be provided above the pool area as required by code, or a petition of variance to be applied for to admit sprinklers above the pool vessel as shown on the drawings. Their drawings do show sprinklers over the deck, the walk deck, and the other areas of the pool, just not over the vessel itself. In conversations with Brendan, there's issues with an existing pool trying to get over it, trying to work over that pool in the water itself. So that's where we have left it at, and they are here looking to get a variance to not do the sprinklers over that pool.
Okay, and I don't see a position statement, but maybe you can speak to that.
There should be one included in here. Looks like page two.
Page two. Okay, once again, yeah, I have not gone down far enough.
Sorry, page three.
Yeah, it's okay. There.
Let's see.
So we did support it. With the limitations that the pool and the diving well limited to only swimming activities. Any modifications where they might put a, we call it a dance floor over it, or some sort of top over that pool, you would have to end up sprinkling the area. Obviously, sprinkler coverage to be provided throughout the rest of the building and that pool deck itself. We did support it in that regard.
Okay, thanks. I got to learn to scroll better. The last one, Kyle?
Yeah. So just for context here, the board considered similar variance application and actually considered four in one session. This variance for East High School, La Follette High School Memorial, and West High School, all as the high schools were going through renovation in the fall and winter of 21 and into 22. A variance as asked here was asked in those four existing examples and was granted.
And this is, I'm asking, not saying, this is essentially identical situation?
As I have reviewed and believe, the answer is yes. It is asking, the prior examples asked for only a variance relative to the area directly over the water surface of the pool. All other areas were equipped with an appropriate sprinkler system. Variances were considered and approved in prior discussions.
Okay, and I do like the Matt, your comment that, you know, if they put a dance floor or build something over there, the use changes, you know, it's got to be sprinklered. That's good to note, because I can imagine someday down the road. So, okay, other discussion here or a motion? And George, you're out, right?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. So it's up to the other three of you.
Actually, just to be clear, there was an individual registered to speak, Brendan Buckley. Oh, Brendan, okay. If you want to take your 3 minutes and present.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle. I think you and Matt pretty much covered it there. Essentially, just pool surface itself, it's unlikely that a fire will start there or spread from there. And then hanging above the pool is the main concern in terms of safety of our fitters, just getting up above the tile in a concealed and elevated space. Like I said, I think y'all covered it pretty well. Let me know if you have any other questions. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Lou?
Well, I'm ready to motion for approval based upon the fire department's position statement.
Okay. Is there a second? Daryl, is that you?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor, do not raise your hands now. All opposed, raise your hands now. Thank you. That is approved.
All right. Brendan, I will be in touch tomorrow just to kind of wrap up the specific details relative to this and to get this on file. All right.
Okay. Sounds great. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. So now we're on to the next one, 1128 Aaron Street.
Okay. So agenda item number four for consideration, 1128 Aaron Street. So in this instance, we have the property owner seeking a variance from the 2015 IBC section 1011.52, which requires a minimum tread depth on stairs of 11 inches. We have a situation where we have a commercial building. It is a three-unit building. There is an exterior stairwell that was constructed, the stairs do not meet the minimum requirements to be able to approve for the exterior of the building. They would be permissible if they were interior because of the depth. There's a provision within the IBC that allows for that. The individual is requesting a variance from this, as we do have one individual who is registered to speak in support. That is James Robert Dish. Also, as was discussed with James before, this item was flagged during construction and was brought to the attention as the decks were constructed of the non-compliance relative to the tread depth. Okay. James, if you would like, you've got 3 minutes to present and to make any case you would like to.
Thank you. I'd like to just start off with, you know, it all started with a building complaint. Once that started, the deck basically financially was easier to tear down and build new with the existing 2x10s that were there. So I'm assuming that those would have kept as stairs. This being drawn up, Marlene did the plans. We get them submitted. This whole time we've been going through building compliance with the city attorney, and they won't close out this case until we're signed off on this deck. So bi-monthly we've been meeting with them. So before our meeting in December, we contacted our building inspector, had him go out and just do a prelim inspection. And that's when he noted the 7-11 rule. Prior to that, the whole deck's up. The drawing, everything works on paper. Once you put it in the plan, it does not work. We had to modify on site. So we get to the stairs. I look up the IBC code, and I forwarded that over to Steve come March, because we wanted him to do another preliminary inspection prior to a meeting with the city attorney. So I forwarded over the code 1011.5.2. When he replied, he said the stairs have to be in italics within the dwelling units. So italics within really doesn't apply, because that's not in italics on the building code itself. And then he stated exterior stairs are not included in exceptions 3 of IBC 1011.5.2. We kept moving with that as the definition of the dwelling unit means a structure or that part of a structure. So it really, I didn't see non-exterior, and that's why we just went forward with the 10 inches as the stairs. It's 11 inches, but as they're measured, it's 10 inches with the nosing coming over 1 inch. I mean, to do this, everything's been pushed to the max as far as spaces. So to satisfy this, we would have to tear the whole deck down. That's kind of all I really have. I mean, the plans even on here, as he drew up, I mean, like I said, it works on paper, but once you put it into play, it doesn't work. Page three of the plans had some computer draw or some computer schematics on the left side. And it has the rise 7 inches, has nothing about the tread being 11, but that's neither here nor there. But he also has the angle at 45 degrees, you know, laying out the 7-11 stairs. We're at 32 and a half, 33 degrees roughly. So, I mean, we're just, yeah, that's about all I got really. So to actually fully comply with the 7-11, we would have to go off of the deck itself and come out into the yard. I think it kind of looks obtrusive, or tear down the deck, redo it. So,
okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I'll open with some comments here if I can. Seems like somebody's questioning. When I read the letter from John Lampe here, I'm confused because this is three units, right? So I don't understand the logic. But I'm assuming because we're here that clearly the stairs do need 11 inch treads on this stair, that's the city's conclusion. That seems to be right to me. So, and the railings on both sides are required already, and the illumination has got to be required. Some kind of illumination has got to be required. So I don't see that we're getting anything extra except that we're being asked to say it's good enough. Am I missing something, somebody? Is that the way you see it, Kyle? Am I missing something?
Yeah, correct, right? So this was built in this condition, just to kind of, you know, make sure that it's at least well understood. When plans were originally submitted, the plans were put on hold, specifically with regards to tread depth and rise. That was then revised and confirmed during the plan submission process that it would be constructed to meet code. It was marked on the plans, which led to the approval. Inspection staff went out to the site during construction in December of 24. While the site was under construction, we confirmed that the stairs that were being constructed did not meet the 7 and 11 code requirements and that the stairs would need to be modified in order to do that. We were then called for a final inspection without that having been corrected. And so we find ourselves in a position where what we have is treads that have a overall depth from nosing to riser of 11 inches, but 10 when you consider it from a measurement perspective, because it is measured from nosing to nosing.
That's right. That's the way it's done. That's the way I've done it for 50 years. So it's probably right, I hope. So yeah. So this is a tough one because I could see us arguing about, you know, is this safe enough? And frankly, maybe if it was an interior stair, I might say, you know,
if it were an interior stair, we would be able to approve it. So there is an exception within the commercial building code that says stairs within the dwelling unit.
Right.
Within being the key word. These right. are not within the dwelling unit. These are serving exterior decks that then serve the respective dwelling units.
Right. And I my personal feeling is that exterior stairs in Madison, unprotected, you know, where snow and rain can come in, are particularly hazardous. And, you know, you need extra protection for an outside stair like that. So, and we could argue all day whether this is safe enough, but, and that the code is wrong to require it at 11, but the code is what it is. It's not our job to change the code. It's our job to determine if there's any equivalency to what's required. So I'm afraid I don't see any equivalency here. I just don't see any equivalency, and I'm trying to think of what would help. A snow melting system, ice melting system, or something. But I don't see this one, I'm afraid. Anybody else want to weigh in here?
To me, I keep on looking at the landings must be pushed at the limit. Was this, I mean, looking at the pictures, the stairs, like the existing 2x10s look to be new 2x10s as part of the rebuild, not necessarily as I did. So I guess, I mean, maybe what I'm saying is, These stairs were entirely removed and then rebuilt versus just replacing some decking.
Correct. The deck was rebuilt.
Yeah, I don't buy the argument that there's any reason that this couldn't have been designed and built to code. I'm sorry to say, because it makes me feel badly, all this work and all that, but just technically I don't see a hardship or an equivalency, I'm afraid. Do the other people have an idea of that I'm missing something? Or have any ideas about what could make it equivalent?
Is there a possibility for grip, some kind of grip on the stairs themselves?
Well, the problem I've seen is that snow and ice build up over the grip. You know, I have seen what I would do when I was designing an exterior stair, which was rare, but is to use a metal grate where things can't collect because it's a grate. You know, things melt right through. I mean, if this was enclosed but still not serving an individual unit, I would feel differently because the weather wouldn't be a factor. So if it was enclosed, I could support a variance. Am I thinking right, Kyle?
If it were enclosed, then we would consider it within the building.
Would you? Oh, okay. Okay. So that would solve the problem. So in other words, the choices here, if we didn't grant a variance, are enclose this, and then it's interior, and then the exception applies, even though it serves multiple units.
It has to be within the dwelling unit is the way the code is, right? So I'm sorry, I was just thinking about the within the building, but it's within the dwelling unit. So just enclosing it wouldn't be sufficient here, with the idea that the exception is meant to allow for dwelling units to mimic residential stairs, and that common hallways, other elements, exterior elements, anything commonly traveled or that could be commonly traveled must meet the commercial code requirements for stairs.
Yeah. So again, my thought is, could I support a variance if this was enclosed? That would make me think that there's an attempt to improve safety. I don't know, George.
All right. So I was hearing you earlier, Jim, and talking about if fire escapes with open treads that have something where the snow and ice buildup is less likely, how crazy would it be to see if they could replace the treads with a metal tread that's has an open design similar to a fire escape? Just tossing that out as a way to try and get there. Because I agree, this is going to be very difficult to find some other type of equivalency to approve this.
Others? John?
It's just like on a somewhat related note, is the requirement for the handrail at the bottom of the lower stairs to return back on itself that, depth of tread, is that getting into our egress path? Is that choking off the ability to get out of those stairs at that guardrail? It's kind of hard to tell by the photo,
I
but.
don't believe so, as it wasn't flagged by the inspector. It's not
Right.
evidently clear to me from having reviewed
Okay.
the photos. That being said, we've also not granted the final approval here, but the issue with the final approval is the tread depth and the configuration of the stairs.
Oh, go ahead, Sean.
Go ahead. Well, sorry, the second part of that, Kyle, was that if I'm looking at these pictures correctly, I mean, I don't see a plan attached, a print, but it was referred to. Are both sets of stairs out of compliance?
I believe the answer is
They're
yes.
the same run,
They
size
sure
run.
look the same
Okay, because it
to
look
the
it appears
eye.
that right. Because it looks at one point there was, I mean, this overbuilt deck was built down to the public right of way. So that and so if there was What if the solution was to extend the depth of all these treads? I mean, you kind of are getting into an issue with being able to even get to grade with this. You see
Yeah,
where I'm going?
what
I
you
mean,
would
it appears to
effectively
be
need to do from a
is that, I don't know if
construction.
that's sidewalk there.
Yeah, so you are correct, Sean, in your assessment that you are limited by where the stairs empty onto the concrete. What you'd have to do from a construction perspective is you'd have to adjust the top level, right? So the deck would need to move further to the right as I'm viewing the deck on the building, so the treads can become deeper, which basically makes my deck wider to the right by another foot or two.
Which looks possible. I have another question. Does Marling have a
Yeah.
registered architect on staff?
Yes, it was Andrew Koffel that drew it.
And he's a registered architect. That's how they got. I was going to say Marling did it, and I. How'd they get
Marlin submitted code compliant plans.
by a
We
registered engineer?
correct by a registered architect
Okay.
here. We,
But
and we
that's
went
not.
through the plans with them, and we specifically identified rise and run during plan review, and that was noted on the plan set as needing to be met.
Okay.
So to clarify, Kyle, what I heard earlier was that the notation was made that these need to be comply with code, but it was specifically called out
It was the seven
as
and 11 rule. Yes.
the it was the 7-11 rule. And then so what on the those plans that were submitted, did indeed those stairs move to the right on the original plan? Because what appears to me is that we don't have a proper landing at the top of the stairs. And so that should have been flagged, right?
That's
But I'm not seeing a landing, proper landing on the bottom or top of the stairs. So I'm just trying to understand how this got through.
Yeah, I think the issue had to do with where the understanding of grade level was and where the landing could be relative to where it needed to be
Okay.
for stairs that had the appropriate depth. When the plans were originally submitted to us, they were placed on hold, and one of the specific hold items read IBC 10.11.5.2, risers shall be 7 inches maximum, treads shall be 11 inches minimum. That was explicitly stated, and then it was reconfirmed on the plans when they were approved.
And then did on those
And then it was
original plans,
identified
did they
during
call?
construction as well.
Okay, understood. And then was it identified that, I mean, on the original plans, did we have proper landing in 42, 44
yes.
inches at the top of the stairs?
Yeah, I think what they had was a drawing of a grade that, and I suppose James could identify this more clearly, but my understanding is it was a improper understanding of where grade level was relative to property line and the room with which they had to actually work.
Yeah, I'm going to say here that it, just for future, it would have been very nice to see those plans as submitted. It would help me understand this a little better. But it wouldn't change. I mean, at this point, again, I don't see any equivalency, or, you know, the only equivalency that's been discussed so far is, George, that idea of putting in an open tread with a grate, like a fire escape type tread, to minimize the ice and snow buildup. Then again, are they really safer to walk? Not quite sure I would say that. I'm not quite sure what to do about that one, but open to discussion, of course, among all of us. Is somebody recused from this? Nobody's recused from this item, right? Okay, so anybody else want to weigh in here on this? Or if they feel like making a motion. Kind of stuck, George.
So, I guess what I'm going to say is, why don't we ask the applicant to look at this with the idea, could they, got two ideas. One is to change the material of the treads to allow that you would not have a buildup of ice and snow. And I think you could make the argument that, yes, they don't walk any differently, but for an exterior stair, they're probably safer considering where we are with snowfall and ice and stuff like that, that it could be beneficial, and we might have a way to think about that. And, you know, when I look at stuff like this, my head starts, the wheels start to turn, and I'm going to throw this out, but I don't think it's a good idea. Could you have at the top of the stairs, each stairs, could you drop a landing that would be lower than the rest of the deck around it, so that you could then try and make up some of the, you would have one less tread, and then when you divide that tread up over the flight of the stairs, you get closer to it. Now, I don't think that's a good idea, but it's something that somebody could think about, because I've never really liked it when you get up to the very top of stairs. I'm saying personally, you know, when you get up to the very top of the stairs and you step onto a landing, and then you, let's say, turn to the, and then you got to step up one step, you know, it'd be one way to maybe try and get some more space. But again, when you look at like all the handrails that have been designed and built already, you know, are those all going to have to be tossed because now you're changing the rise and run over the length of the thing? You know, does that even, are you going to have to replace all the rails, and you keep running into other problems? So, you know, just maybe the applicant could look at those two possibilities and then decide whether or not they want to come back. Just a thought.
Yeah, and I would go one step farther, George, and just say, just table this and put it upon the applicant to come up with those or any other ideas they have for equivalencies. Because right now, to me, it's clear we have no equivalencies, and I couldn't. Well, I don't vote, but I certainly couldn't support the variance as it is now. George, I think it's a really reasonable idea to do a drop landing, one step drop landing. I'm not crazy about those either, but I don't consider them extremely unsafe either. The trouble is you have to build the whole flights over again. Although I think that's an option, I think, you know, the applicant can go back and try to figure out a way that they feel is more, let's say, cost effective that gives us something to hang our hats on here. Sean?
Yeah, I may have an idea that might get us closer to compliance and less hardship on the applicant here. If we were to remove the Trex riser, we'd gain about 3/4 of an inch. And then we still need a solid riser, we could then cut in framing in between the stringers to create kind of a flush condition. So now that we've just gained that 3/4 inch, the treads could be unscrewed, rip 3/4 inch off the tread, push that back to the rough framing, and now you would have 10 3/4 nosing and nosing, and maybe that would be acceptable compliance here with this double handrail and the illumination.
I'm not sure I follow you, Sean.
So the issue is that nosing to nosing, we're at 10 inches, right?
Correct.
Yep. I got it.
No, maybe we wouldn't quite get that because we would.
I don't see it myself.
Well, because you can have up to 3/8 variation in nosing depths. Yeah, no, I guess maybe that wouldn't work.
Yeah, I mean, I could see, recutting the stringers with a different angle, you know, obviously reduce the angle of the stair and recut the stringers, you know, both ways at a different angle. So at least you'd be able to reuse the stringers, but then there's going to be a shortness at the top, of course, because you dropped, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I guess because you have to equally change them all, you can't. I was hoping that you could gain a little bit, because I mean, we're talking about an inch. The ice and snow issue, I think, is irrelevant to, I mean, it's an exterior stairwell that's uncovered, it's always going to have an ice and snow issue. An inch of tread is not going to make that much safer.
It won't make much difference, but it makes some difference. I mean, an inch on the stair is significant from my personal experience. It's significant. And the problem here is we're supposed to look for equivalencies. We're not here to say, oh, we don't think this code's necessary. That's not our role. We don't make the code.
Right.
We just have to make sure there's something code compliant or equivalent, in our case, equivalent to what the code requires. So that's what stops me, Sean, I'm afraid.
Yeah, no, if our concern is truly ice, or we consider just in general, I mean, slipperiness on these stairs being shallow, that's our main concern, right, from a safety perspective.
Yeah, I think it's clear any exterior stair is somewhat dangerous in winter. And that's why I personally, in my career, I've always tried my best to avoid them. But if you got to do them, at least meet code is what we're supposed to assume as a board.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest we've thrown out a lot of stuff, and that the applicant can take all that he's heard today and try to figure out what he can do about presenting us with equivalency, so that we would just simply table it for today. That's just a suggestion. I can't make that motion because I'm the chair.
Yeah, I think I guess the other question I have is, and if we truly are requiring the code stairs, are we going to, will this deck even be possible to build with our landings without extending it the width in both left and right side?
Well, I mean, this, we're,
and so without seeing the plans, that's a hard call to make, but I'm just questioning the landing depth as is. And then, you know, as we start to look into, so I mean, it's, I think there's some feasibility, but there certainly seems like there's an extension that would have to happen in both directions to pick up that tread depth if we're gaining an inch on each one of these. I mean, there's, you know.
16.
Yeah, I think 16. Just for the, yeah, I think, again, I think it's appropriate to let the applicant deal with this. We've thrown out enough suggestions, I think, to give some ideas about our feelings and our ideas, and can have his architect or engineer review this. I'm sure there's some solution. It may be painful, but there's a solution out there for sure, somehow. Kyle?
Yeah, just to add here, if the conversation is kind of centering on how do you alter the stairs in order to get them to meet the requirements, the reality is that if the builder is able to alter the stairs to meet the requirements, which almost certainly at this point requires significant alterations, changes, and rebuilds to elements of this deck, then a variance is not needed or approved because right. They have met the code requirements. Whether that means dropping a one-step down landing, extending the deck to a side, completely rebuilding the steps, all of those elements, right? You do any of those things to hit the code requirements, and we are not here in front of the board. So while it's useful to hypothesize things that could be done here, if the builder is able to bring something like that forward, or does bring something like that forward here, then the approval of the board is not necessary because it would meet the code and we would be able to approve it. I think the only real question at hand here is going to be, here's what I can do to get it as close as I can possibly. Would you grant a variance for that with these conditions, or would you not?
Yeah, that's why I feel personally the best idea is to table this and let the applicant, you know, react. And yeah, you're right. They can decide to try for another variance based on what they heard, try the variance again based on what they heard, or just put it to code and that's that. Yeah, agreed. Any other comments or a motion here? We can also, of course, we can simply deny this, and that would allow them to either start over or make it code compliant. Start over with the variance idea or make it code compliant. So to me, those are our options, unless people think this is okay, which I'm not hearing so far, but those are our three options. So hopefully somebody will step up and make a motion here. George?
So if we table this and ask for the applicant to come back with something that might give us equivalency, or to hang our hat on with equivalency. I'm going to say, what is better for the applicant? Is it better for us to do that with the applicant, or to just say, deny it, you try and meet code, or come back? In some ways, to me, they're one and the same. But is there any benefit to the benefit to the applicant to just say we're going to table it and come back? I think it saves him the fee of applying again.
It's the fee for one thing, right, Kyle? And I'm just going to say, go ahead, Kyle.
Well, there's certainly the fee element if you were to choose to table it. I suppose the only real consideration this would be, without a firm decision up on the part of the board, meaning if you were to table it and say come back in the future, then that means no decision has been made, which means there is nothing to appeal. a decision to deny does afford an individual the opportunity to appeal to a higher circuit court, although that's never happened. But that would be the one thing to be considered here.
Okay, so basically, one thing we could do if the board feels it's appropriate is we could ask the applicant if they have a preference, because it's pretty clear we're either going to table or deny. If anybody thinks it's not clear that we're going to table or deny, they should talk now. Otherwise, I would like to, I could see giving the applicant an opportunity to select either tabling or denying, whichever they feel is better for them. Since, as you say, George, it's effectively similar, you know, in many ways. So does everybody think it's reasonable to give the applicant a chance to indicate which way to go? I see yes from Carol.
Yeah.
Yes, Lou?
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable request, because, you know, also times if you're not necessarily experienced, you know, there's a little bit of you know, understanding where the thoughts process. I have a feeling this has been kicked around, and, you know, the troubleshooting has been done, but maybe there was something brought up during the discussions today, you know, and the, like I said, you know, that equivalency, what, you know, in return for this, you know, is there other improvements, you know, like enclosing open steps, putting a roof over it, you know, there's other ideas that they could possibly think out there. So I do think that, you know, having the appealer, you know, see what their opinion is.
George, do you agree with that? And Sean, is that okay? Okay, so Jane, I guess I'll call you James. What's your feeling on this?
Yeah, I guess that's fine. I want to kind of know which direction to go on that, right? Like, if you can't, what Kyle's saying is to do it to code compliant, we're not even going to be here minus these stairs. So which way do I go with this? Do we just, you know, get an engineer involved and put stairs on the side and add all those, because this is kind of a dead end? Or is there a pathway to fix these stairs to make them compliant still? I'm not sure. I mean, if the enclosing it, putting a roof over it, that does that, but it's still what Kyle said, it doesn't get it into the interior of the dwelling unit. You know, I mean, the state definition of dwelling unit is the structure itself. So if it's definitely not, because it doesn't say exterior, it just says inside the dwelling unit. I don't know.
Okay, so one thing we could do is just determine, take a quick count of the people here today, which is not the whole board, so you never know, but we could go through, I think, the options on the table that we know of now. I mean, obviously rebuilding it and making it work, that's, we don't have to talk about that, because that's, then we don't need a variance. But the idea of either, and this, I think it'd be difficult, but theoretically in closing this, I think that's pretty damn difficult, or possibly adding these fire escape type treads. Those are the two ideas that I'm hearing. And Sean, your idea about making it comply, well, then it complies, so it doesn't come here. So the only two ideas I think that are on the table are these open treads, let's call them, and enclosing the entire structure. And the question is, how do other people feel about that? Would they approve it? I mean, we can't guarantee anything, but you could hear our opinions. But then it's, the onus is on you to just take it and run with it. Kyle?
I just want to identify that we are close to losing a quorum here. And so I think a decision needs to be made as to whether or not you want to table this to a future meeting, whether you want to and have the applicant continue to work towards finding a solution, or whether you'd like to take a vote on whether or not you would approve this variance.
Seems to me our best option really is to just table this, because we probably don't have proper people and or time to give you too much more direction than you already have. And hopefully your engineer can figure out some other way to make this work, let's say to make it compliant. I just don't know. So yeah, I guess I have to agree with you, Kyle. We have to hear a motion here. I didn't hear the applicant necessarily favoring either one, but I think tabling it is a simple answer, because it just gives us another run at it. It gives the owner another run at it for no extra fee. I would think that would be the preferred method. George?
I'm going to move we table this.
Okay, it's been moved. Is there a second? Who?
I'll second.
It moved in second to table this and put it off to a future date. All in favor, do not. And George, please put your hand down so we can. Great. All in favor of tabling, please raise. Do not raise your hand now if you're in favor of tabling. Raise your hand now if you're opposed to tabling. Okay, so the motion is tabled.
All right. So, Jim, just to follow up here, what has occurred here is that the board has referred this to a future meeting to be further considered. What will happen now is I will give you a call tomorrow where we'll discuss effectively what you may want to bring back to the board if you want to consider seeking a further variance. And or if you, after consulting with the property owner and thinking about it, want to move towards a code compliant design that does not require the involvement of the board. So you can expect to hear from me tomorrow. All right.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. That's that item. We are through the agenda items and we are now on new business. Communications and announcements, anyone?
Just very briefly, tonight I expect that there will be a new member for the board that will be confirmed by the council. We have an individual who's up for consideration. His name is Cliff Goodert. He's a retired architect. He's previously served on the Zoning Board of Appeals. He was referred by the council and will be voted on tonight. It is expected to pass, which is exciting to add another individual here. One last thing for future item on our next agenda here. As well will be likely the consideration of the composition of the board as far as number of members. Currently, the board is considered of 9 individuals across several disciplines and citizen. The mayor's office has identified the potential to maybe move that number from 9 to 7. We'd like to get some feedback as far as what that might look like. So that will be an agenda item on an upcoming item, meeting for debate. I have no other communications and announcements then.
That sounds great. Okay, well, thank you, everybody. Unless there's anything else, we're looking for a motion to adjourn. George?
I move we adjourn.
Daryl?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, do not raise your hand now. All opposed, raise your hand now. Okay, we are done. We made our time limit. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. I appreciate it very much. Thank you for pulling it together.
Yep. See y'all.
Bye.